There was a young, very gifted pianist who was asked to accompany at his church a very well-known soloist. And it was a very rare and unique opportunity for this pianist to display his gifts on the piano. And so as they were rehearsing for the program that was going to take place later on that evening, the pianist was just running his fingers up and down the keys just with great vigor and enthusiasm. And after the first stanza, the soloist stopped and she looked at the pianist and said, I make a good accompanist for you, don't I? He got the point. He was the one that was supposed to be providing the music in support of her. He was the one that was supposed to make her look good by honoring her with his gift. Wasn't the time or the place to showcase his ability. That would be at another time. At that moment, the opportunity was to serve her, to play for her and not for him. It really serves as a good illustration, and if you haven't already, to turn to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at the second half of verse 10. Last week we looked at the first part of verse 10. Middle of the week I was having dinner with Ken, and he says, hey, we've got the same verse this week. And I said, yes, because we're looking at a different one another passage. If you have your Bibles there and you're open to chapter 12 and again verse 10, we'll read the whole thing kind of in context for what we talked about last week, what we're going to be looking at this week. It reads this way, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That was last week. This week, honor one another above yourselves. I want to share a couple of other translations because I think they help to sort of unwrap for us the intent of what Paul is writing here to the Romans. It gives us a different flavor for what these words, what this verse means, so that we can understand how we are supposed to take this and apply it to ourselves as we work together in encouraging each other. Here's what the English Standard Version says, outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. The New Living Translation, take delight in honoring one another. The Amplified reads, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. The Message says to practice playing second fiddle. Chew on that for a minute. Practice playing second fiddle. The Phillips translation, the willingness to let the other man have the credit. The willingness to let the other man have the credit. And then the Contemporary English Version says, honor others more than you do yourself. I don't know about you, but I find it hard to play second fiddle. Our society is all about wanting to be at the top, to play first chair, if you will. You know, you always have that anticipation. You know, when Andrew started in band a number of years ago and playing the trumpet, you know, working towards that first chair. I mean, that's the goal of every person who is in. They don't want to be the second fiddle. Someone once said the hardest position to play in the orchestra is the second seat. Because you're the one who has to play the accompaniment to the one who is in the first seat. It's difficult for me. It's difficult for our society to want to play that position because we always want to go and be in the top. I mean, who wants to be a bench warmer? But it takes a special person who can take that role and be a support for the rest of the team, the rest of the orchestra, the rest of the whatever it is. I want to remind us of a couple of things. First of all, these one another passages are how we are to treat one another. And the second thing I want us to remember is that as we said at the beginning of this series, and I'm going to remind you from time to time, that these one another passages are commands to obey, not suggestions to consider. as a command to obey, it's not just something that we take when we want to. It's a command that we do every day, in every instance, in every situation. We can't pick and choose to whom we are going to display or exhibit these one another passages. So they are a command to obey all the time, not suggestions to consider. Now, as I read this passage that we're going to be looking at today to honor others above ourselves, there are three things that I see. Because, first of all, I see it's a wise choice. It's something that we have to consciously decide that we're going to do. The second thing I see in this passage is that it's a wonderful character. To be able to honor somebody above ourselves, that's an attribute, I think, that is something that really is lacking in our culture today. To recognize other people, whether they want to receive that accolade or not, it still is something that we should be doing to honor them. So it really is a wonderful character that we can exhibit. And the third thing that I see is that it's a willful challenge. Again, because we don't want to. It's difficult for us. To be able to honor someone who got the promotion that we thought we deserved, or who got the position that we thought we should have had to begin with. So it really is a willful challenge on our part to be able to do that. I want to define the two main words. There's only four words in this sentence in the Greek. But I want to define the two main words, and we've already gotten a sense of their meaning from what I read in the translations and the paraphrases already, but this will help us to understand the intent more fully. The word honor means to value or fix a price to something. To value or fix a price on something. It can also mean respect, regard, or reverence. To consider as precious. So think in terms of that when we talk about honoring other people, that we are to consider the value that they have. Now, that doesn't mean to say that if I value somebody very little, that I only have to show them little honor or respect, or none at all. If I don't think they're worthy of it, that I'm off the hook. That's not the case in what Paul is trying to express to us today. It's a word that's used in Matthew 27, verses 6 and 9, referring to the silver that Judas was paid. It's the same word, timei, same word in the Greek, when it says that this is the price, 30 pieces of silver, that Judas was paid for the betrayal of Jesus. So think of the value there in that case. Jesus used it in John 4:44 to speak of the lack of honor that was given to the prophet in his own hometown. In Acts 4:34, it is used to describe the price received for land by Christians who sold it so that they could help with the other Christians who had need. So it was the value. Later on, we read about it when Barnabas had a piece of land. When he had a piece of land and he sold it and he got a certain price for it, it was the value of that land. Acts 28:10 describes the honor that was given to Paul. There was that great shipwreck. He was on board. They're heading to Rome and there's that shipwreck and they land on the island of Malta. And Publius, who is the governor of Malta, his father was sick. And Paul came in and prayed over him, and he got well. And it says that Publius gave Paul honor because of what he had done for his father. Paul refers to honor given to those whose work is good. Children, this was David's Bible verse this last week at school. He's had this a couple of other times. Children, honor your father and mother in the Lord. For what? This is what? Right. We are to honor in the Lord. We also find the word used in Revelation to speak of the honor that we give to God. turn, if you will, a couple of passages that I want us to see again, just as a reminder. You're familiar with them, but chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, by the way, it says that we are to honor God with our bodies. So you can see the value, the price that is placed on this word as we are to honor one another. In Revelation chapter 4 and again in verse 11, a verse that we're familiar with, but it says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor." Glory, and you are worthy to receive honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Turn over to chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. In a loud voice, they sang, these are the elders and the living creatures who are around the throne, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." One more passage, chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, the very first verse. "After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, 'Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God.'" There is in that translation there the word honor. At a reception honoring musician Sir Robert Mayer on his 100th birthday, an elderly socialite, British socialite, fell into conversation with a very friendly woman who seemed to know her very well. Lady Diana's failing eyesight prevented her from recognizing her fellow guest until she got close enough to see all the diamonds that were on her jewelry. And she recognized immediately that the woman with whom she had been talking to was none other than Queen Elizabeth. Aghast that she had not recognized her, apologized for her not seeing who she was. "I'm so sorry, ma'am." And Queen Elizabeth responded by saying, "It's okay. I thought today would be the day to honor Sir Robert, so I left my crown at home. This is all about him." There's a woman who understood, in her position, the opportunity to honor someone else. Now, we need to understand before we go on that the core of honoring someone else is humility. Humility is at the bottom, the foundation of being able to recognize somebody and honor them. If I'm only all about honoring me or being honored by others, then I will have a very difficult time in honoring someone else. I will have a very difficult time in acknowledging their accomplishments. Humility is essential in honoring others. As a matter of fact, without humility, practicing the one another passages will be impossible. Because it is all about setting my desires, my will aside so that I can acknowledge and do for them what I am called to do as a brother, a sister in Christ. We need humility in order to practice these truths. William Temple said concerning humility, "Humility does not mean thinking less of yourself than of other people, and it does not mean having a low opinion of your own gifts. It means freedom from thinking about yourself one way or the other way at all." We need humility as we honor others. Even if you're not a sports fan, the name Michael Jordan should ring a bell. He has been in the news even since his retirement a number of years ago. And during his playing time and all the accolades that were heaped on him. And in 2009, when he was inducted into basketball's highest honor, the Basketball Hall of Fame, he gave a very interesting speech. One sports journalist likened him to being the ultimate alpha male in his alpha male moment. His speech that year was considered by one sports journalist to be petty, unfocused, and uninspired, disparaging people who had little to do with his career while ignoring people who had so much to do with it. It was described as being something unworthy of his stature, something beneath him. He chastised those who crossed him. At one point, when he finally acknowledged his children, he told them he wouldn't want to be them. He criticized several players who isolated him in the NBA All-Star game during his rookie year and went on to rub in their faces his 6 NBA championships and his 5 MVP trophies. To cap it off, he flew in an old high school student, a classmate, a basketball player, to the event and called out their coach, who had, instead of bringing Michael Jordan, who was an underclassman, a sophomore, onto the team, he put him on the JV team and had this other guy be the team, and then he rubbed it in his face. I want to contrast that with the speech given by David Robinson, who also was inducted in the Basketball Hall of Fame the same year and gave a very different speech. He was a superstar in his own right, worthy of the induction. He was a 14-year career, including 2 NBA titles, voted MVP 1 year, along with a Rookie of the Year award and a scoring title. 10 times he was selected to the All-Star team and won 2 gold medals at the Olympic Games. Robinson is a committed Christian. He began his speech by giving personal and loving words to each of his 3 children, telling them how much he loved and treasured them. It was one of those father-son moments that they won't ever forget. He spoke lovingly to his wife. He honored her in public and then took time to honor those who made it possible for him to get to the the apex, if you will, of basketball. He honored coaches and teammates. That was a man who understood what it was to honor God by honoring others. I believe that when we honor God above everything else, honoring other people will fall into place. You know, it's going to be the natural thing to do to demonstrate respect and value them above ourselves. This past week was a demonstration of the body working in harmony to bring honor to someone within our group. And I want to honor this morning, for just a moment, I want to honor you, who came alongside one of our families, the Bowerleys, to honor them, the passing of Mary's mom. A difficult week, to say the least. But the way in which you as a church body rallied around them to support them during this week was just phenomenal. That is what the body of Christ is all about. That is what the body of Christ exhibits to a world that is looking and saying, is this really something that I want to commit myself to? It's the kind of thing that, as I had other family members leaving, saying to me, thank you. What a joy, what an opportunity. Your church did such a phenomenal job putting together this dinner. And it's all to you. And I want to honor you. I want to honor you for taking time to bring meals, for taking time to set up and take down tables and chairs and get things ready for Sunday, to be able to make sure that there was food here, to make sure that we had enough food, to stay and serve, to make sure that the other people were cared for. That's part of what the body of Christ does. That's what we do in honoring one another. And so it's a tribute to you for me to honor you. You didn't do it for accolades. You didn't do it because you wanted recognition. You didn't do it because there was some reward in it for you when you got all done. You did it because there was a brother and a sister in need, and we honored them by your service. Some of you wanted to be here and help but couldn't, or you were out of town and couldn't help, and I know, and I thank you for your willingness, and I thank you for your prayers for them, because even in praying, it's a way of honoring. It's a way of remembering, and so thank you. But it's not just in a week that we see this honor. I need to honor those of you who serve in so many different ways, from the board to those who work in the PA, to the music, to mowing, to the yard and the parking lot in the winter time when we come in, we don't have to worry about snow, to all the things that you do, you need to be honored. I thank you because it makes me look good. And I need to pass it on to you. And I can't tell you how much I thank you for the way in which you come together. Not just at this, but at each event that we have a special need. And before I go any further, I need to honor my wife because she makes it possible for me to stand here. She is my Proverbs 31 woman. And I want to thank her because of her support and encouragement to me. And that's what it is about honoring each other. We don't have to do it in public, but I wanted to do that today. But we do it when we gather together and thank others and lift them up. I was thinking this week about when a person is knighted and the humility that is exhibited by an individual. And this goes back to the days when they had the Crusades and they used the swords and they would stand before the king. And what would they do? They're there to be honored by somebody who is in the authority, but they kneel in humility before that person. And so you do it with a humble spirit. You do it with a gracious, a grateful, and a giving, a very generous spirit. And in that regard, you need to be honored. Thank you. And I can't say it enough. Booker T. Washington was renowned as a black educator. Shortly after he took over the presidency of Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, he was walking in an exclusive section of town when he was stopped by a wealthy white woman. Not knowing he was a famous Mr. Washington by sight, she asked if he wouldn't mind stepping in and earning a few bucks by chopping some wood for her. He didn't have anything pressing at the time as president of a university, so he rolled up his sleeves and began to chop the wood, and after he was done, he picked up armloads and he carried them in to the kitchen and he laid them by the fireplace. As he was leaving, a neighborhood girl recognized who he was, and she went in to inform the woman, the neighbor, who had just been in her kitchen. The next day, rather embarrassed, she stopped into his office at Tuskegee Institute and profusely apologized for not recognizing who he was. He said it didn't matter to him. It was always good to have a little bit of labor at times, and also it was important to do things for new friends. She was very grateful for his understanding and for his graciousness, and said that she would forever be supportive of his work there at the Institute and rallied others to help in supporting the college. I want to look at some examples in Scripture, but before we do that, there's one more word that we need to define in our verse. We need to honor one another above ourselves, or as your translation may read, preferring. Preferring means in the New Testament, and it's only used here, it means to go before and lead. To go before and lead. When we think of leading, we almost always assume it's speaking of a person who's in charge, the person who is up front, the one who is making all the calls, the one who gets all of the acknowledgement. Paul has a different understanding of what this word means. It literally would read, in honor one another having gone before. We live in a culture that promotes self and promotes self at the expense of others. But Paul says that it is just the opposite. Honor here isn't being exalted above others. It is exalting others first, putting them at the forefront. It is to lead by example, is what he's saying. Lead by example in honoring other people. When you recognize that someone has done something, honor them. Put them at the forefront. Lead in doing that. We go back to verse 3. You're back in Romans chapter 12. Verse 3 says, By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Underline that. Think of yourself rightly, with the right attitude. Think of yourself soberly, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Peter adds that that God is opposed to the proud. In a verse, Paul says that we should put others first ahead of ourselves, something that is totally unnatural, something that is only divinely developed in us. So what Paul means is that when we lead, to lead the way in honoring others, and that we should do it as a delight, it should be something that we enjoy doing. I want you to go back to Esther, chapter 6. Here's a great example of what I'm talking about. Esther chapter 6. Beginning at verse 1. That night the king couldn't sleep. So he ordered the book of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read to him. It was found recorded there that Mordecai had exposed Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officials who guarded the doorway, who had conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this? The king asked. Nothing has been done for him, his attendants answered. The king said, who is in the court? Now, Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the gallows he had erected for him. His attendants answered, Haman is standing on the court. Bring him in, the king ordered. When Haman entered, the king asked him, what should be done for the man the king delights to honor? All of a sudden, the wheels in Haman's mind are beginning to churn. He's talking about me. Is there anybody more worthy of honor than me at the sight of the king? So, now Haman thought of himself, who is there that the king would honor rather than me? So he answered the king, for the man the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe the king has worn and a horse the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on its head. Then let the robe and the horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor and lead him and the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. Go at once, the king commanded Haman. Get the robe and the horse and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai. Isn't that irony? Oh, wow. It's great. Do not neglect anything you have recommended. So Haman got the robe and the horse. He robed Mordecai, and he led him on horseback throughout the city streets, proclaiming before him. Do you think it was done delightfully? This is what is done for the man who kings delights to honor. Probably said that really so hardly anybody could hear it. Afterward, Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman rushed home with his head covered in grief. He told his wife and all his friends everything that happened to him. Wow. We need to honor those above ourselves. Put others first. Greek scholar Vincent says it this way, each being more ready than the other to recognize and honor. Each being more ready than the other to recognize and honor. So the word preferred means to lead them not in the sense of importance, but lead them by example in honoring others above ourselves. You know, when I was in college, I would earn a little bit of money. On occasion, they would have programs at the seminary auditorium that usually required tickets. So I would go and serve as an usher at those events. And we would have plays there and different things. And on opening night, the president and his wife always got tickets for opening night, and they were always seated in the same seat, about row 6 or 7, right on the aisle, on the inside aisle. And so they would come in and they would be seated. Well, one particular event, somebody else had been given the same seats. So there was a little bit of discussion among the ushers, what do we do? Rather than taking another seat, the president insisted that he have his and that the other couple who were in their seats be moved. If we're going to honor one another, it is preferring them, allowing them to have that place to lift them up and exalt them. In Genesis chapter 13, we see the story of Abraham and Lot. It is a story in which their flocks have grown considerably and they just don't know what to do. There isn't enough land to be able to sustain all of their flocks. And so Abraham suggests to Lot, I want you to take a look at all the land around you. And if you decide to go this way, then I'm going to go this way. And if you decide to go this way, I'm going to go this way. And so he looked over all the land. And Lot decided that the fertile soil near Sodom and Gomorrah was where he wanted to go. And so rather than deferring to... Remember, he's the guy who was along the ride. Because it was to Abraham that God called, leave your people and go, and I will show you a place where you will live. And Lot went along with him. Lot should have said, no, Abraham, I'm deferring to you. You're my uncle. You're the elder. You're the one that God has called. You take the land that you want, and then I'll go in. But instead, Lot took the best land. We have another example in Numbers chapter 12. Aaron and Miriam, they're in the wilderness, they're wandering around, and Aaron and Miriam are now upset because they think that, has God spoken only through Moses? And we find that Miriam is struck with leprosy because of her insubordination. A couple of chapters later, Numbers chapter 16, there's Korah and Dathan and a number of others who rise up, Levites who rise up, and they're thinking, you know what, Moses isn't the only guy, and they have, instead of honoring Moses as their leader, the one who has brought them out of the will, out of Egypt and is leading them to the promised land, they're upset. John chapter 13 is one that I want you to take a look at in your time together in the adult impact, because it's the lesson that Jesus gives us about serving, because at the heart of honoring others is serving. And Jesus gives the example by washing feet. All the other disciples had been about arguing about who was the greatest, and Jesus showed them who the greatest was. He took a towel and a basin and he washed the disciples' feet. So take a look at John chapter 13. Matthew Henry calls this one another admonition, a respectful love instead of contending for superiority. Sports perpetuate superiority. When I was in basketball playing in high school, every year at the end of the year, there was always a time when the writers... and coaches got together and they acknowledged who the greatest players in the state were, and they were put on all-state first team or all-state second team. And then there was a third class. They weren't quite good enough, but they called them honorable mention. Like, what's the point? I wanted to be first team or second team, and all that gets is honorable mention. I think that what Paul is talking about here in this passage of honoring others above ourselves is to say that we are going to have an honorable mention. We are going to exalt them rather than ourselves. Paul wants to elevate the honorable mention group and put them first as we encourage others and honor them as we prefer them above ourselves. When was the last time that you honored someone? Take some time this week to think about that and then jot a note, give a phone call, but honor them. Honor them for who they are. Honor them for what they have done. We can honor them in so many different ways, from just expressing our gratitude for something that they have done and so many other things. As we prepare for communion this morning, I want to take and have you turn to Philippians chapter 2. So men, if you want to get ready and come, if you want to go out and get the kids. This was supposed to be a shorter message. I only had 4 pages of notes. I want to say this because when our deacons serve you, it's not a way of having them say, we're the leaders and we're doing this. It is a way of honoring you. They are putting you before themselves. And then when they stand here and I take the plate and give it to them, it's a way for me to honor them, to thank them for what they have done in their service to you as a church and to the Lord that we serve together. Philippians chapter 2 is a great example. Are they waiting on you're waiting on Randy? Kids are coming. Philippians chapter 2 is a great example. if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete in being like-minded, having the same love, being in one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to a place, to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a great example for us to follow in what it means to honor someone. He is worthy, as we read in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. He is worthy to receive glory and honor, power, majesty. But he humbled himself and he came to serve us. He honors us in his actions, both as he washed their feet and then as he went to the cross. And so this week, as we think about what it means to honor others, think first of all of how Christ has honored each of us in the actions that he exhibited here on earth when he was present, and then during his and after his death and resurrection.